Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone,
the mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown.
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood, Thursday, September 20th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning, right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speeds, the Spitting Statistician, and as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, FSWA Hall of Famer, El Rey de Fantasia, the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, how you doing? Getting ready for week three. Thursday Night Football kicks off. Maybe the Bud Light fridges will be open tonight. Scotty, how you feeling?
Doing okay. You know, getting ready for Thursday Night Football, like you said. I know you're excited. Revenge games for Terrell Pryor and Isaiah Crowell tonight.
Absolutely. Yo, let me ask you this. We'll get into that Thursday Night Football game, and we'll make our picks a little bit later on in the show for sure. Are you aware of that story, Scott? I think I might have mentioned it to you a couple weeks back or maybe a month ago that Bud Light put these like freezers of, you know, bottles of Bud Light in random bars in Cleveland with the directive that the first time the Browns win a game, the Bud Light fridges would be opened and all the beer in there would be for free for Browns fans that were there. Are you aware of this story, Scotty?
Yeah, you just reminded me of it. I'd forgot about it.
So I'm a Jets fan. I'm a little bit worried the Bud Light fridges will be open tonight.
Look, Jet fans have had, you know, some incredibly bad luck, and there's a lot of Jet fans that deserve them, you know, but you're not one of them, and only the Browns have had worse luck, so I think you're going to be okay.
All right. I mean, we'll see. I mean, can you tell me? I mean, we'll have to go back a long time to see, Scott, when the Browns were 3-point favorites like they are tonight against the Jets. I'm over here looking at our friends at mybookie.ag, and the Browns are 3-point favorites tonight. We'll have to go back and check to see when the last time that happened. The over-under on this game also moved up a little bit, Scotty. It was in the 30s yesterday. It's up to 40.5. Maybe people are buying your angle that Pryor and Crowell go off a little bit because of the revenge game. We'll make our picks a little bit later on in the show. But, Scotty, we got some news and notes. And because yesterday were the practice reports, we got a ton of injuries. I'm going to kind of reel the ones that I see off, and then I want to hear from you which ones you think are kind of, you know, the most important, which are real, and which are kind of just teams managing people's reps, you know, at the beginning of a practice week. I want to start in Indianapolis, Scotty. Listen, three guys who I think are critical to this offense did not practice yesterday for the Colts. Maybe some of them are real. Maybe some of them are managing reps. You let me know. Marlon Mack didn't practice with that hamstring. T.Y. Hilton with a quad, and Jack Doyle with a hip. All of those guys, DNP, of those guys, which would you be most concerned about?
I think it's too early to get concerned about anybody not practicing on a Wednesday other than Marlon Mack, okay. You know, because Mack has already been dealing with injuries. A lot of times, if a guy has a minor injury, they might hold him out on Wednesday. When guys start missing practices on Thursday, I think you get a little concerned, but you have to connect the dots with Mack going back up until last week and the fact that he's not involved, you know, starting to make me like Nyheim Hines even more.
What about Jordan Wilkins in this situation? He was the guy who got the actual start. I know Nyheim Hines was the kind of more dynamic play and a PPR guy. What about Jordan Wilkins?
Yeah, start means you're on the field for the first play of the game. Nyheim Hines has looked better than Jordan Wilkins.
Okay, and you talk about how on Wednesday you ain't got to worry about it. You do have to worry about it if you are playing on Thursday night football, Scott. Jarvis Landry listed as questionable for tonight. What do we think that means? Do we think that means a lot of the rookie Callaway, or maybe even Rashad Higgins, who I've been telling people to keep an eye on, David Njoku? What do you think if it winds up that Landry is not suited up? Or do you think he's actually going to give it a go?
I haven't seen any reports that he's not going to play. So
I saw that he was listed as questionable. So, you know, that's...
Yeah, he's listed as questionable. You know, he's not listed as out. You know, he was limited in practice from what I saw. So, you know, it's just a short week, and I think he should be okay.
Right. So, but therein lies kind of my other question. With that short week, maybe he will be okay, but we saw it with Joe Mixon last week. You know, are you concerned about either decreased production because he's banged up on the short week, or, as inside injuries would say, that increased risk of further injury?
I didn't see anything from inside injuries yet about Jarvis Landry. When I don't see anything that indicates that he's anywhere close to missing the game, I don't start getting concerned. I think unless I saw a report that he was in danger of missing the game, which I didn't see, that I would be worried. I'm not, so he's going to be in my lineup.
Well, Scott, I mean, you say that, but isn't that what the questionable tag is? Like, when you're listed as questionable, you are in danger of missing the game. Isn't that, like, why you're questionable instead of probable?
Not really. You know, questionable is how do I didn't see a report that he was in danger of missing the game. A lot of times,
but he's
that a guy has a questionable tag, and that the tag doesn't tell the full story.
Yeah, I hear you, and sometimes
I didn't see any reports that he was in danger of missing the game, so I'm not worried about it.
But I guess here's what I don't understand, Scott. Isn't being listed as questionable by definition that you are in danger of missing the game? Isn't that exactly what you're saying?
Sometimes they give a guy a questionable tag, but he's not in any danger of missing the game.
All right, I think we have a semantics issue here.
Ask the NFL and the team about it. You know, I didn't see any report that Jarvis Landry is in danger of missing tonight's game.
Right. What I'm saying is that being listed as questionable is a report that he is in danger.
There have
of
been
the
so
game.
Many times that guys are listed as questionable and that they're expected to play. So the best way I can put it is that Jarvis Landry, to my knowledge, and this could change today, and maybe I'm not seeing some that somebody else isn't, is listed as questionable but is expected to play in my estimation.
Absolutely. I think we're just hung up on the word of, like, no, you're saying no danger. I think there's some danger. I think he may play, absolutely.
There's a chance
he will play. Yeah, what you said. You said there is no danger. I'm saying there is some danger. By definition, there is
I didn't
some
say there was, there
danger.
Was, look, I'm not trying to put out there that there's no danger that, like, you know,
that's
maybe
exactly
there's a 5 to 10% chance or something
that's
like
why
that.
He's
but,
questionable.
You know,
exactly
again, we're getting hung up on semantics here.
Okay.
He's listed as questionable, but I didn't see any reports that he was in danger of missing the game. That's what I said. A lot of times,
no
the guy is listed as questionable, and he's expected to play. He is expected to play to everything that I saw.
Fair enough. I would say that the proper terminology there would be that there is not no danger, but there is some danger, but that you do expect him to play. I think no danger.
I think we have to add color to the word questionable that the tag itself doesn't. I would say it's a non-worry questionable to me right now.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Let's move on this one. Scotty, Jay Ajayi did not practice. You know, I know you're talking about how on Wednesday sometimes they just manage the reps, but Jay Ajayi has this history. Now it's back. People are saying there are reports. I saw reports saying that he is likely to actually miss and be kind of on the wrong side of questionable, shall we say. So talk to me what that means about guys like Corey Clement, because Sproles is also dealing with a hammy.
Yeah, they don't have anybody else in that backfield really other than Corey Clement. So, you know, this makes him a really good start. And if he's still a free agent out in your league, I think you have to go out and pick him up.
Yep, I did that myself. I also think, listen, I was looking, making a little bit of a DFS lineup, and I got to tell you, Corey Clement is only 5,800, okay? So if there is no Ajayi, if there is no Sproles, and like you mentioned, Scott, the backfield would be like all to himself. I really like Corey Clement at $5,800. When we put in a, when we talk a little bit more about a DFS lineup tomorrow, I'm going to tell you right now, Corey Clement is going to be in one of mine. Let's stay with the Eagles, Scotty. We talked about it briefly yesterday. They did, in fact, go ahead and sign Jordan Matthews, okay? Now, here's the thing. We know he used to be in Philadelphia, right? He spent his first, I believe, 3 years of his career in Philadelphia. Had one decent year, right, before going out to Buffalo. The other thing that I read is that he has a relationship with Carson Wentz, which is weird to me because he was in Buffalo when Carson Wentz came, but apparently they like work out together and stuff like that. They already have a relationship and some chemistry. Is Jordan Matthews going to go right in and be the slot guy like right away?
I don't know. He's already missed 2 weeks. He didn't have a training camp. I can't have imagined him having a much of an impact right away. It's hard for me to see, and I think Wentz might be rusty right out of the gate too.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that as well. They take on the Indianapolis Colts. We'll see about that. Another guy who didn't practice, and to your point, Scott, some of them are just managing reps. Like, for example, when I see DeAndre Hopkins limited, you know, listed as questionable, I have him on a lot of rosters, and I know he's going to be just fine. But I don't know if that's the same case for Minnesota running back Dalvin Cook. Okay, remember, he tweaked a hammy, I believe, in overtime last week. They're saying he's pretty much fine, but he didn't practice yesterday. I guess my question is this also, Scott, you know, similar to David Johnson, people have been saying that Dalvin Cook has not replaced. That was a Freudian slip. I promise, Scott, that was a Freudian slip. But I'm glad I got a chuckle out of you here early on a Thursday morning. But Dalvin Cook, the chef, shall we say, listen, he's underperformed a little bit in the run game, okay? He's caught some balls, and that's okay. But my question is this. Yeah, I know. The cock has caught some balls. I'm sorry, Scotty. Okay, come on. Let's get back on the gravy train here. But I wanted to ask you about Latavius Murray. Is Latavius Murray like viable? Is he going to get more snaps? Is he going to get more production? I'm not saying he's an RB2 or anything like that, but is the arrow trending up on Murray because maybe they want to limit Cook's usage like we've seen with Chris Thompson, Alvin Kamara, people like that? You know, does Latavius Murray become this Mark Ingram for Minnesota and become more valuable?
There's varying reports out there, you know, that Cook just had some hamstring cramps, that he's fine. But then, you know, you go to rotoexperts.com this morning, you know, and you read the inside injuries roundup, and they're legitimately concerned about him as a high risk. And you have to read that too, because there's concerns about Antonio Brown that nobody else is reporting. But I think you have to pick up Latavius Murray just in case, because look, Cook, you know, was hurt last year, and you know, hamstring problems can linger. So I think you have to take some precautions here.
All right. Also in that game on the other side, there's issues with some of the studs as well. I look at Buffalo, Shady McCoy with the ribs, with the rib cartilage, and Kelvin Benjamin with the hip, limited for the Buffalo Bills. Listen, Scotty, I mean, I'm going to be all over the Vikings in Survivor this week. I think the point spread is a ridiculous number. Last I saw, the Vikings are 17-point favorites, Scotty, at home against the Buffalo Bills. But if McCoy and Benjamin are banged up or can't go, I think this makes this game even more of a boat race, huh? What do you think about McCoy and Benjamin? Or do you, I know a team would never do this, but would you on the other side be like, listen, we got no shot of winning this game anyway. Let's rest Shady McCoy on this one. Give him another week to heal up. I know that's not the mentality of an NFL team, but could this be a situation where they try to lose, where they lose the battle to win the war on this one, Scotty?
What war are they going to win? You know, they're still a very bad team. I think it depends on pain tolerance, and you know, McCoy's played through it before. If they have any chance to stay close, they have to have LeSean McCoy. So, look, on Wednesday, you know, there's a lot of guys that miss practice, you know, that you say that, you know, just maintenance days, you know, things like that. You know, we go back to the Landry thing. He has been limited in practice all week. So, but that's a short week. On Wednesday, if you play on Sunday, you know, you have the luxury of sitting guys out that may be a little bit banged up. So you know, the inside injuries roundup on Roto Experts, you know, is saying that he's played through this kind of thing before and he'll probably try to soldier through it.
All right, let's talk about Marcus Mariota, Scotty. He's back at practice. Remember, he had that elbow. But interesting to me, I saw that he is splitting first-team reps with Blaine Gabbert. Do you make any sense of that? Like, if he's back, shouldn't he just be back? What's up with the splitting first-team reps?
Well, they talked about using both of them. I guess they're easing him back in and they're seeing how the elbow is. But I'm only guessing there, you know, because Mariota did look really, really bad in the opener, and then Gabbert looked better yesterday. I'd be guessing if I knew here. You know, I don't know what the Titans are doing.
Yeah, let me ask you this, okay? Like I told you, I'm making a DFS lineup, Scott, right? And I think there's two incredible options at the top of the food chain for defense. We'll get into my kind of game stacks and stuff like that a little bit tomorrow. But you got the Jaguars facing these Tennessee Titans, right, with who knows what's going on at quarterback. Okay, and you have the Minnesota Vikings facing these Buffalo Bills at home, right, with banged up McCoy and Benjamin, that bad offensive line, and a rookie quarterback under center. Right now, the Vikings are at 4,900 on FanDuel. The Jaguars are at 5,000 on FanDuel. Right now, I have the Vikings in my DFS lineup. Which defense do you like better? I'm looking at your in-season ranks, Scotty, you know, which we'll go over a little bit. Later on, you have, you know, the Vikings number one, the Jags number two. Is it close?
I would say no. The Vikings are just, you know, in a class by themselves this week. But, you know, I don't think a lot of people are going to spend that kind of money on a defense anyway in daily, so.
Interesting. I was able to fit it in personally. I'll give you my, like I said, I'm only spending $5,800 on.
Well,
Corey,
you know,
Clement.
What? You distinguish yourself and give yourself a chance in a tournament like that.
Yeah, I have a tournament lineup where I'm stacking some of these games. I think it's really interesting. Remember, we talked about some of the high totals. There were four games with totals in the 50s in this week, but two of them are not on the DFS slate because it's Sunday Night Football, Lions, Pats, and Monday Night Football, Bucks. Steelers, right? So that leaves the Chiefs-Niners game and then the Saints-Falcons game as two games that stand above the rest in terms of their totals. And so I'm heavily invested in those games in a DFS lineup. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Last thing, in one of those matchups, this San Francisco-KC matchup that has a huge total, Marquise Goodwin coming back to practice, he was limited. Are you feeling good about him for this week, Scotty, with that quad? Because if he's in, I love the matchup against KC in that secondary. It seems like people are putting up passing yards against him. I know a lot of people want to see if they could put Marquise Goodwin back in their lineup.
Yeah, inside injury said that the optimal recovery time for him was 1 week. So it's good to see him back at practice. It's a nice matchup.
Good. So you can roll him out with confidence, Scotty?
I think we'll know that more today or Friday.
I know, it's just tough. Like, what say if you're deciding between Marquise Goodwin or someone on the Browns, you know? But we'll discuss it a little bit more. Scott's Week 3 rankings when we come back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here at Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Welcome back. Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane and Scott putting the fun in functional sports radio, talking about Minnesota Vikings running backs. But what I got to let you guys know is that BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service, fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events when you can make your play at any time during the game using the promo code FNTSY, because BetDSI is offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. So use that promo code and go on over there today. Start winning. That is promo code FNTSY at BetDSI.com. Hey, Scotty, we're going to get into your week three ranks, okay? And we're going to talk about, you know, where you're a little higher or lower than the rest of the industry, maybe because of the matchup. But before we do, you know, I got some interesting questions from Twitter over, you know, from the Stats Overbeat Cypher. They're asking me questions left and right about some key players. But one of the questions that I got that I thought was interesting, someone asked me, would you trade Le'Veon Bell for Mark Ingram? And I thought that was an interesting one, right? Because, like, there's the known quantity of Mark Ingram versus the unknown quantity of Le'Veon Bell. But here's the thing that I wanted to ask you about. And we've talked about Mark Ingram a bunch and coming back from the suspension and stuff like that. But, you know, I looked at something that I hadn't seen before, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. He comes back after 4 weeks. They play week five, but then the Saints have a week six bye, right? So a lot of people are like, oh, it's not really going to help your team anyway until week seven, right? And I think we've said that before. But then check out the Saints' schedule in week seven and for the next few weeks after that. Scotty, it's no picnic. At Baltimore, at Minnesota, home for the Los Angeles Rams, then at Cincinnati. Those are the next 4 weeks. Those are not defenses to run against. So when you talk about Ingram and like, oh, we're getting him back, then there's the bye. Then he has four of the hardest run matchups possible in the first 4 weeks. Does that give you any cause for pause for Ingram? It's not really until week 11 when you get a good matchup for Mark Ingram.
Yeah, but at least you're getting a guy that you know is going to play and contribute. It's you know, with Le'Veon Bell, you know, he may not come back till week 10, and you know what kind of shape is he going to be in? So I'm okay with doing the deal. You know, it's I can't assume that Mark Ingram's not going to have good games just because of the matchup. You know, the defense doesn't always win the matchup.
Yeah, I know you have said that before. I mean, but like that is something of a murderer's row, Scott. Let's take that trade out of it. Just talking about like, I know the defense doesn't always win the matchup, but it doesn't get much harder, Scott, than at Baltimore, at Minnesota, Rams, at Cincy for a defense to face defensive fronts.
Yeah, but like, the Rams are like, when you look at them, you know, just that the Rams, you say the good defense. You know, traditionally they're not that good against running backs, and it's not like not like the Bengals are shut down either. So, you know, Jacksonville and Minnesota, sure, but you know, I don't think I'd overrate it.
All right. Fair enough. And, you know, Scott, when I have you here, okay, because you are a Hall of Famer and I am merely a spitting statistician, I want to get your thoughts on a trade that was just offered to me in my league. And the guy who offered it to me, I know, lives in Korea right now. So hopefully he's not listening, right? So check this out. It is my long-term, you know, home crazy dynasty league with escalators and all this good stuff. It's the epitome of short-term versus long-term, okay? I just spent my number one waiver priority and I got Giovanni Bernard. Okay, so I have Giovanni Bernard, and I was telling you that I was trying to use him. Remember, I was talking about using him as a bridge because I have Kerryon Johnson and Sony Michel, and we talked about this concept of the bridge quarterbacks, right, and all that good stuff. All right, but on this team as well, Scotty, it's a super flex league, right? So all the quarterbacks are owned. Even Teddy Bridgewater is owned. You know, Baker Mayfield is owned, all that stuff. You're drafting quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks early, okay? It's a very deep 14-team, long-term dynasty league with a lot of good, smart people in it. Okay. I have Patty Mahomes, which I love. My number two quarterback right now is Joe Flacco. Okay. Who's actually performing, you know, better than expected so far. I got a trade offer where someone wants my Giovanni Bernard. Remember, I have Joe Flacco. They're offering me Lamar Jackson straight up, Scotty. So obviously, it's like short term versus long term. Giovanni Bernard is like, for me, a short-term guy that I'm plugging in, using as a bridge, like we said, to the time where Kerryon Johnson or Sony Michel can be my RB2, right? But I would get Lamar Jackson back. I already own Flacco. So then in this dynasty, I have the baton pass ready to go as my QB2 for years to come with Patty Mahomes, who I now have at value. He was like a 10th round pick for me this year. Do I sacrifice my short-term bump? I'm 2-0 and in first place in this league. Do I sacrifice the short-term bump for Gio for the long-term answer at Baltimore quarterback by getting Lamar Jackson, Scott?
This is a one-quarterback league, right?
No, it's a super flex. It's a two-quarterback league.
Super flex, okay.
I am flexing Joe Flacco currently.
And who are your other running backs?
I have Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel, Jordan Wilkins. You know, right now I've been starting Kerryon Johnson as my RB2. This week I'm starting Gio Bernard. And if I did trade the Giovanni Bernard, I put Sony Michel in. It's a jump. It's a drop for my RB2. That is my position of need. That's why I spent my claim on Gio.
Here's the thing.
I would start Sony Michel.
It's very tempting, but I don't think you can start Sony Michel anytime soon. Inside Injuries, our Roto experts, is saying that they believe Mixon is going to miss the full 4 weeks.
Yep.
So I believe you have to win now. And having a backfield of James Conner and Giovanni Bernard is pretty good. So, yeah. So I'm going to say no. Because
okay, I mean, the rest of my team is solid.
The rest of your team is solid, but I think you have a need at running back. If mm-hmm. you could swing something with him where maybe you can get a running back from him that, you know, that is maybe lesser or that you feel yeah. you can put into your starting lineup and you throw in a second player, I'm okay with it. But I understand why you're tempted, but most mm-hmm. importantly, you got to think about the now, and I don't think you can do it.
Yeah, I'm 2-0. Listen, you know, my tight end's Ertz right there, so I'm fine there. You know, I'm rolling out D-Hop and Stephon Diggs as wide receivers, so I'm fine there. I told you, Patty Mahomes. I also have, you know, depth, you know, behind Ertz. I have Trey Burton behind Ertz, so I'm fielding offers for Burton as well. You know, but this RB2 in the short term is exactly my need, which is filled by Giovanni Bernard. I'm excited. You know, it's a dynasty league, Scott, so I'm excited by having guys like Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel. I also have Jordan Wilkins, you know, in this league later on. You know, so I like this as a future in a dynasty, along with obviously Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. I also have Jerick McKinnon on IR. So I'm good in the long term at running back. But it's the short term versus the long term. I do think it is very, very interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, ultimately, I'm gonna say that the short term is more important. You got to win now.
So let me ask you this. Would it be unethical, Scott? Would it be unethical to accept this trade at like noon on Sunday and have it so I get Gio for this week and then it processes later on down the road?
No, but I still wouldn't do it because you could use Gio for up to
yeah,
4 weeks.
Yeah, 3-4 weeks, yeah. It's true. It's true. I know we differ, Scotty, on the other point that I believe the Sony Michel breakout starts this week. I really believe, excuse me, I believe that he is the starting running back starting this week. I know he just got into it, but there was no harder matchup than at Jacksonville, but he did lead the team in carries. I personally believe that both Michel and Kerryon Johnson are ascending at a quicker or earlier timetable than I think you do, but I get your point overall. I need Gio Bernard. I am 2-0, so why am I thinking about the future? I'm primed to be ready for right now, so maybe that is what I will do. Scotty, let's look at your week three ranks.
Few weeks from now, things might change otherwise, but you gotta think about the now. You know, you mm-hmm. gotta think about 2018, not 2019.
Fair enough. I do also think that this guy wants it for right now because his running backs include like LeSean McCoy, who's banged up, Marlon Mack, who's banged up. That's who he's starting behind his David Johnson. So I think he might be looking for it for right now with McCoy banged up as well. But we'll see. Enough about my league. Let's keep it moving here to week three and your rankings, which, by the way, you can, of course, get on rotoexperts.com if you have the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge in-season package. Scotty, I want to start with running backs, and I'm looking at PPR formats. This is your week three ranking, so the matchup is involved. When I look, the person you seem to be higher on than most is Leonard Fournette. The industry has him as an RB2 this week at number 18. You have him as RB12. It seems like you're confident he'll be back and ready to go, and you like the matchup against Tennessee.
Well, I think I'm a little bit lower if I knew if he was going to play for sure, but he was limited in practice yesterday. Mm. It's kind of a thing of relevance where everybody else falls behind him, and now that he's got a chance to play, I got to put him as a back-end RB1.
Okay. All right. So it's not really a concern. It's more just a – is it a play? It's not a skill concern, right? It's a playing time or health concern. Is that right?
If he's going to play, I got to rank him as a back-end RB1. You know, where other people rank him is not a concern to me. You know, maybe they feel like he's not going to play or whatever, but he came back. He's limited in practice. Early reports say that he's expected to play, so I got to bump him up. And if he's going to play, you know, I like him better than a lot of the guys behind him. It's just where he falls relatively.
All right. You've said this already on this show, talking about tonight's game, this idea of the quote-unquote revenge game for Isaiah Crowell. You have him as a RB2 this week, a little bit higher than the consensus ranks. Talk to me about why, because, you know, sometimes I give you narratives, Scott, and you're like, that's just the fans, that's just the narrative. But it sounds like you're buying into the revenge narrative tonight for the Crow Show.
Yeah, I am. You know, I've seen it happen before in the NFL. It doesn't always, but, you know, Crowell's capable of good games here and there. You know, we saw it at Detroit, and I think we'll see it again tonight. You know, that's a pretty good defense, but I think if the Jets get near the goal line stripe, which they will, they're going to hand it to Crowell.
Yeah, I think that's right, you know, in the goal line, and they do that a lot of times. It might even be, Scott, a similar timeshare as usual, but if the opportunity comes to punch it in, they'll give it to Crowell. If the opportunity comes to get Terrell Pryor a big chunk play, they will do that as well. One guy that you're lower on than most, you know, like some the industry would have him in the flex conversation, you would have him on a bench, given kind of the rankings, is Monday night, we go to Tampa Bay, and Peyton Barber at the running back position. You know, Scotty, I mean, for me, I hear you on this. And for me, the main reason is because under Ryan Fitzpatrick, this Tampa Bay offense has been a passing team. You know, it's similar how you say you don't look to the Detroit Lions or the Green Bay Packers for running backs because they are passing teams. Under Ryan Fitzpatrick, they have been slinging it as well. He also hasn't really performed that well. Talk to me about the Tampa Bay Bucks running back situation and why you are lower on Peyton Barber than most.
He's averaging 2.6 yards per carry. Last week, 16 carries for 22 yards. The Steelers can still defend the run pretty well, I believe. He's not a threat to the defense at all. This team's going to be slinging it around the yard again. The running game is going to be irrelevant because there's also a possibility he could fall behind. And I think in a few weeks, you're going to see Ronald Jones starting for this team.
Yeah, I mean, Ronald Jones at this point, though, has, like, been a healthy scratch, I think, the first 2 weeks in a row. Right now, behind Barber, behind Pop Quiz, Jacquizz Rodgers, and even someone else. I mean, what indications do you have, Scott, that Ronald Jones is going to, you know, even dress for games, let alone be relevant?
By the way, Peyton Barber is playing, and the fact that they used a second-round pick on the kid. You know, Jacquizz Rodgers is about, like, 4 feet tall. Yeah, I don't think they're going to have a choice but to use Ronald Jones soon.
All right, fair enough. Let's stay in that same game. I do want to transition over, though, to Pittsburgh. And we're talking about the tight end. You know, Jesse James, you have as a startable tight end this week, a little bit higher than the consensus ranks. Listen, I have waiver claims in for Jesse James in a couple of leagues myself where I'm hurting at tight end, one of the leagues that we're in together, Scotty. But my question, though, is with the presence of Vance McDonald. I mean, Vance McDonald is now also healthy. So does that eat into Jesse James at all? What do you think about the tight end situation in Pittsburgh? You seem to be higher on Jesse James than the consensus.
Well, they were both available last week and, you know, played about the same amount of snaps. And he was going to Jesse James. Ben Roethlisberger, I think, has been a very comfortable relationship with Jesse James for a much longer period. This is a terrific matchup.
All right, and, you know, I see it here at the tight end position. I saw it at the running back position as it related to Jordan Howard. You're lower than the industry on Jordan Howard. You're lower than the industry on Trey Burton. It sounds like, in general, you're just not a fan of this Bears offense, huh?
Yeah, they didn't do a lot against, you know, a defense that, you know, was signing people off the street last week. And, you know, had undrafted free agents and linebacker. And, you know, this was a matchup that he should have taken advantage of. And, you know, there's just no big plays in that offense. Mitch Trubisky's just not looking like a starting NFL quarterback right now at all.
All right, well, let's go over then to this point spread here on mybookie.ag. They are on the road. You know, I always talk about the road favorites and the home dogs, Scotty, right? You know, they are on the road at Arizona this week, okay? The lowest total on the board at only 38 points for this over-under. I know you say you don't like what you've seen out of the Chicago offense. No one likes what they've seen out of the Arizona offense either. They got stifled by the Rams in week one. They only scored, I think, 6 points in their home opener against Washington in week one, right? Bradford hasn't looked good. There's rumblings about if and when they go to Rosen. Larry Fitzgerald is banged up. David Johnson is underperforming. Do you take the under on this game, even at the low total of 38? And Scotty, when you talk about the Bears offense, yeah, they've been bad, but are you taking the Bears on the road as favorites this week? The Cardinals are home dogs, getting 5.5 points at home. Scotty, let's talk about this game.
Yeah, it's like I'll take the Bears with the 5.5. Thank you. I'll take.
They're
the
giving
under,
5.5. They're giving 5.5.
Yeah,
you're okay with that. They're covering it on the road. Okay,
I'm taking the Bears.
Okay, you're taking the Bears minus the 5, you know, and the
Their defense
points.
Is very good. Their defense is very good. And as long as Trubisky limits the mistakes, which I think he can, you know, they'll easily win this game.
All right. So Scotty likes the Bears on the road, given points. And you like the under 38, Scott, as well, even though it's such a low total?
Yep. Yep.
So what do you see? You see this as like a 21-10 kind of Bears win, something like that?
I see this like a... as like a 20-13 Bears kind of win, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we're saying about the same thing. Under, yeah. And Bears win by about a touchdown or just like that. All right, fair enough. Hey, Scotty, I want to let people know the NFL is in full swing, but you can still win 2018 World Series tickets by playing Daily Fantasy Baseball, and the entry is free. Go to DailyRoto.com and find out how DKMS is trying to eradicate blood cancer. Not only will you get educated on their wonderful mission, but you'll find a link to free DFS baseball contests throughout the rest of the MLB season. You could be at the 2018 World Series. You know, I'm hoping the Yankees are there. They got a big boost with the Judge coming back to the lineup as the Yankees get a big win. Absolutely. My fantasy baseball team is trying to eke it out. I got 10 days left or 11 days left to go. I got a 5-point lead. Boy, am I streaming. When we come back, we look deeper at Scotty's week 3 matchup ranks. Dane and Scott, Roto Experts in the morning.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice, we play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Welcome back. It's Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is the Spitting Statistician. It is the King, Scott Engel. We're making it happen here as we put the fun in functional sports content. We're looking at the King's ranks. We're seeing how that impacts some of our picks for some of the point spreads and some of the lines here. Tomorrow, Scott, we'll make our picks. It's a football Friday. Tomorrow, we will make our picks in terms of 3 games against the spread. We'll make our picks with our survivor picks. Maybe, Scotty, you'll get up on the schneid on your survivor picks. What I do want to clarify, though, you know how we make the 3 picks against the spread? You can also use an over or an under for your official picks. So, Scotty, I just want to make sure, because we usually make our picks on Friday. Do you want any of your 3 picks or your survivor pick to come from tonight's game? Because if you do, you have the opportunity to make that official now before it goes. If you want, you know, Jets, Browns, or the over-under on this one to be one of your official picks. Now, the Cleveland Browns, it's crazy. Like, we really have to check with the Elias Sports Bureau or something, like, when the last time the Cleveland Browns were 3-point favorites for a team that hasn't won a game in like 2 years. But Scotty, the Browns -3 and the over-under is at 40.5 now. I know you said where you're going on this game, but are you confident enough to make one of these your official pick of the week?
No, and I think, you know, probably as a Jet fan, you're probably insulted, you know, that the Jets are not favored. But, you know, I think this will be a close game, but I still like the Jets.
Yeah, I think this is weird. You know, this is almost like as a fan, I'm playing like reverse psychology on myself. You know, I'm telling everybody up, they're going to open the Bud Light fridges, you know. So it's me like calling the Browns to win for the first time in 2 years. And if I'm wrong, it's all right, because that means the Jets are 2-1 kind of thing. And then got the long week, you know what I mean? So I'm kind of like playing both sides of the fence with my fandom and my analysis. I admit that. All right, but Scott, so we'll make our official picks tomorrow for week 3, both our Survivor and our ATS picks, but I just wanted to make sure that you didn't want to use one of them on Thursday night football. Scotty, Will Dissly, we were talking about these tight ends. Will Dissly, are you buying him? I see you have him as number 16, so you're not starting him this week, but you are a little bit higher on him than others. Listen, I'm not trying to pile on, Scotty. I know you're a Seahawks fan, but that offense looks it looks challenging right now. Go ahead, talk to me then.
Yeah, it's you know, Russell Wilson is looking for him in key situations. If he scored 2 touchdowns in 2 weeks, yeah, one was in garbage time. But still, he did look for him. And, you know, I think Dissly has been a pleasant surprise for them, but I think they knew about him in preseason. After 1 week, I thought it was an anomaly. But, you know, when he was still throwing to him in key downs on Monday night, I said, you know, he's going to continue to go to him, especially with Baldwin out and Brandon Marshall. We saw Monday night, you know, just not talent-wise, he's healthy. And look, the guy can still catch a 50-50 ball or a red zone touchdown. He can't do much else. I think he's going to start leaning on his touchdown. If you get open, Russell Wilson will hit you when he's not under pressure. And, you know, he's been getting open.
Yeah, the only thing, though, with what you said, though, Scotty, is, like, Russell Wilson is constantly under pressure. You're like, Russell Wilson will hit you if he's not under pressure. But Russell Wilson has been under pressure a lot. He's gotten 6 sacks.
He was under pressure last.
Both games.
He was under pressure last year. It's like, you know, the storyline has not changed. It's just, you know, it's not any different than it was last year in terms of Russell Wilson being under pressure. It's just the play calling on the Brian Schottenheimer and the absence of any playmakers in the passing game is making things harder than it was last year. The play calling was better last year, and, you know, he had a healthy Doug Baldwin last year.
Right. Doug Baldwin certainly makes a big impact. Yeah. We'll see as he kind of works his way back. I'm looking at other wide receivers, Scotty, who you are a little bit higher on than others. I'm reeling off some guys here who you have as wide receiver 2s this week, where the industry has a little bit lower. I'm seeing guys like Chris Hogan, Quincy Enunwa, Keelan Cole, and Cooper Kupp. Let's take these guys one at a time. With Chris Hogan, listen, I'm with you. I think people saw that in week 1, he had a bad game and are remembering that. In week 2, he faced the Jacksonville defense but did score touchdowns. And now everyone's like, uh-oh, Josh Gordon's going to be the man. I'm pouring cold water all over this Josh Gordon thing. Even if he does produce, he's not going to be the main guy. And even if he does produce, it's not going to be this week. You know what I mean? And I'm just lower on this idea of Josh Gordon all of a sudden being, you know, kind of the Randy Moss idea. I think Hogan is still the biggest target. I think Detroit has been giving up points left and right. I like Chris Hogan as well. You have him as a wide receiver 2 this week.
Yeah, I do. You know, I kind of like the matchup for him a little bit.
Right.
And, you know, with Josh Gordon, you know, he's got a hamstring injury. He hasn't learned the playbook and everything. People get so excited about Josh Gordon. We've been chasing him for 5 years. If I had Josh Gordon, I'd be trying to trade him. Everybody's so tantalized by Josh Gordon. It's just like it's like fool's gold, though. There's nothing at the end of the rainbow usually.
I completely agree with you. And here's the other thing I'll add to that. I want to see if this makes sense or you agree with this, Scott. Like, when Josh Gordon was this breakout star, first of all, it was 2013, right? But the other thing is, he was on a Cleveland Browns team that had no other real dynamic playmakers. So he was getting force-fed the ball. Tom Brady is not going to force-feed anybody. Tom Brady goes where the matchup dictates. That's why he's so great in identifying the mismatch. Unless your name is Rob Gronkowski, he's not forcing the ball to you. There's other options there. They're the fantasy herd, as it were. So even if Gordon is there and he is dynamic, he's not going to be force-fed like he was in Cleveland, like the way people perceive him. Is that fair, Scott?
It's very fair. It's just excitement over something that I don't know if it's going to happen at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, you know, NFL insider Michael Lombardi said the other day that this is a totally different culture, and he better get his act together quickly. Otherwise, he's in and out of New England.
Yep, I completely agree. Scotty, some other wide receivers that we talked about that you're higher on. I've gotten a lot of questions this week about these two guys, Quincy Enunwa and Keelan Cole. All right, people can't – like, every time people are asking me a question and Enunwa's involved in it, I'm like, yo, the answer is Quincy Enunwa. He, I believe, is a wide receiver two moving forward, a back-end wide receiver two or a high-end wide receiver three for rest of season. I like the matchup this week tonight, so he's, you know, a wide receiver two. I agree. This guy is – obviously, the primary read for Sam Darnold. Coming into the season, people thought it was Robbie Anderson. He's going to be this kind of low-targeted deep threat, it looks like to me. And it looks like Quincy Enunwa is, you know, the first read for Sam Darnold. I love Quincy Enunwa, not only this week, but moving forward. Do you agree? Like, Enunwa's the answer with a lot of these questions I'm getting on social media.
Yeah, he's the number one wide receiver for the Jets. Sam Darnold was saying last week that he loves throwing to him. And, you know, he's about the most dependable guy in the passing game. You can see it. You know, we saw signs of it a few years ago, you know, that Enunwa can be a really good possession receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a possession guy who's also, you know, got some touchdown potential.
All right. And, you know, some of the same things you just said about Enunwa, do they also hold true for Keelan Cole? Is he the number one wide receiver in Jacksonville? Listen, I have been saying for a long time that I just don't buy into these Jaguars wide receivers because I don't want shares of Blake Bortles and the Jags passing game. But Bortles is playing a little bit better. Do you think it's sustainable the same way like I believe Enunwa is sustainable moving forward as a wide receiver too? Do you think the same about Keelan Cole? Not only this week, but rest of season?
I think so, too. I think, you know, what we saw from last year was very promising. And, you know, like some, unlike some other players, you know, he's actually built on it. And he's very, very talented. I think he's a versatile receiver and, you know, has some big playability. So I'm comfortable with saying he's the number one fantasy receiver on that roster.
All right. So get on him, Keelan Cole, out there in your rosters, and you could start him with confidence. Scotty, one guy that I see that you are far lower on than the industry, 14 spots lower on, in fact. We go over to the Rams and that fantasy herd at wide receiver. For you, it's Brandon Cooks. You have Brandon Cooks as wide receiver 33 this week. You have Cooper Kupp as wide receiver 22, and I'm looking for Woods. Where do you have Woods this week? I don't see Woods. I'm looking for Woods. I don't see him. All the way down at 52. All the way down at 52. So why do you have Woods so low? Why do you have Cooks a lot lower? And why do you have Kupp higher than the industry? It seems like you are really leaning towards Kupp this week against the Chargers.
Yeah, Woods really hasn't made an impact at all this year. You know, Cooks has been good out of the gate, but I think there's going to be a tougher matchup this week against San Diego than what he saw the first Los Angeles than what he saw the first 2 weeks, and I think Cooper Kupp is Jared Goff's most reliable guy. You know, I think this could be a lower scoring defensive type of matchup.
Okay. Interesting to note. You know, that's part of why, Scotty, and I think your rankings here kind of are a testament to one of the points I made about, you know, the Rams wide receivers being like a high-end fantasy herd. You know, you don't know which wide receiver on any given week is going to be the guy. I think you're right that Robert Woods has underperformed so far this year, but it's definitely within the realm of possibility that this Sunday, Robert Woods goes 7 for 123, and Brandon Cooks or Cooper Kupp have the pedestrian game. You know, they're all kind of, you know, quality wide receivers. And so that's why I call them the fantasy herd. You know, I do believe I respect your rankings, but, you know, who knows on any given week? I really do believe it could be any of those guys that lead the team in receiving.
I think Kupp is the one, and we've seen it there the first 2 weeks, that has the most reliable floor. And I believe he's in the red zone. That's the guy that he's going to go to the most.
All right, so Scotty thinks that Cup is the more consistent piece of this wide receiver fantasy herd. Scotty, I want to get your thoughts real quick on some defenses, because people ask me about defense all the time, you know, guys to defenses to potentially stream or defenses that they like because of the matchup. So I look at your rankings, and, you know, you have obviously, you know, at the top, we talked about some of the big boys already. The Vikings, the Jaguars have good matchups. These Bears facing the Arizona Cardinals are a good matchup. You always like some of the teams like the Ravens or the Broncos or the Rams. But I'm intrigued. You have the Dallas Cowboys at defense number 7, 4 points higher, even against your Seahawks. Scotty, I mean, the Cowboys can get pressure with Lawrence and others. And, you know, Russell Wilson, like we said, has been getting sacked, 6 sacks in both the games. You have Dallas a little bit higher than the consensus in terms of defenses. You're streaming the Dallas Cowboys this week against the Seahawks?
Yeah, I'm actually doing it in a few of my leagues here.
Yeah,
this could be a lowest scoring game the way that the Cowboys play. It's almost like basketball, like that they slow down the tempo. And
with Zeke, you know, Elliott,
the defense, the front seven is pretty good. I don't think the back seven, you know, the back four is that good. And, you know, they're going to get pressure on Russell Wilson this week. Bobby Wagner and K.J. Wright will be back for the Seahawks, so that will make things a little tougher for Ezekiel Elliott, but I think it's going to be a low-scoring game.
All right, two defenses that you're less high on. Talk to me about these Houston Texans, Scotty, your Super Bowl pick. They are 0-2, but they get home, which they haven't been at all so far this year. So this is their home opener, and they get the non-conference team coming in. It's always a tough spot. The Giants coming into a non-conference road game. They have back-to-back road games. Remember, they were at Dallas last week. So that's a tough spot for the Giants. But you have the Texans rated down at defense number 10, 5 spots below the consensus. Are you scared of Odell and Saquon?
Yeah, I think so. You know, this Texas defense is not going to look good. And, you know, I think they're going to have trouble handling the Giants receivers on the back end. And Eli could have actually a pretty good day. I don't think the Giants are going to win this game ultimately. But, you know, this game could be a little bit higher scoring here. The Texans defense has been a disappointment so far, and I think it continues.
Okay, so you think it's more of a shootout where both offenses can do a little bit of work. It sounds like you do believe the Houston Texans will win this game. Scotty, right now as I look over at mybookie.ag, you think they'll win this game. But if you think it's back and forth, my question for you is, would you lay 6.5 points? The Texans are 6.5 point favorites in their home opener against the New York Giants. Are you laying the points here and still taking Houston?
No.
No, okay. So you think they win but don't cover?
I think it'll be like a field goal, four-point type of win.
Right, or even something like a backdoor cover. Like, you know, you give Eli that kind of prevent defense in the fourth quarter, they could easily be, say, like down by 10 and then get that touchdown that's meaningless for the backdoor cover. So it sounds like you anticipate something more of a close game. So while you like the Texans to win their home opener, it sounds like you don't like them to cover. We'll get your official 3 picks against the spread, Scotty, on tomorrow's edition of Roto Experts in the Morning. Another defense, though, that you're lower on than the industry here is the defending champions, the Eagles. You have at defense 11, a little bit lower than the consensus. Listen, Andrew Luck has come on in. They got a win at Washington last week. The Colts are now on back-to-back road games at Philadelphia this week. Why are you a little bit down on the Eagles? You think Andrew's up all night to get lucky?
I think this is going to be a close game. I don't know if Carson Wentz is going to look fully like Carson Wentz.
Rusty.
And you know, the Colts looked competitive last week. The Eagles have looked underwhelming the first 2 weeks. This could be a tight game.
All right. Similar, if you think it's a tight game, the Philadelphia Eagles are at home. Same situation as what we just talked about. Non-conference team coming in, you know, unfamiliar matchup. Scotty, if you think it's a close game, it sounds like you are not then laying the 6.5 points that the Eagles are favored by. What do you think about that one? Eagles minus 6.5 in the Carson Wentz return. It sounds like you think he might need to shake off some rust. I know we like attacking the Indianapolis Colts defense sometimes, but what do you think about that 6.5 point spread? Where would you lean on this game?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Colts. I think both these teams have, you know, decorated quarterbacks, but like a limited amount of weapons.
All right, fair enough. So if there's a limited amount of weapons, you might as well take 6.5 points when you can get them if you don't think as many points will be scored. Scotty, I got to let people know they need to go on over to DailyRoto.com. It's the site. It has produced $7 million winners, including one in week one. But now you can even go premium. There you'll gain access to a line optimizer that will help you compose your daily fantasy rosters on both FanDuel and DraftKings. Not only has DailyRoto produced 7 millionaires, but it's produced millions more in winnings for its subscribers. Okay, go on over to DailyRoto.com and click on Go Premium, the industry website where millionaires are made, literally. All right, Scott, Thursday Night Football, Jets-Browns. I'm a little bit concerned as a Jets fan that the Browns finally get their first win at home on the short week for the first time in 2 years. How do you see this game playing out, Scotty? Give me a winner. Give me a final score. What do you think happens tonight?
I'm going to say Jets 24, Browns 21.
I like that. I like that. The funny. I like that a lot.
Of course you
do. I hope that is the case. I hope that is the case. I'm going to play the reverse psychology right here, unfortunately, because I said it when those Bud Light fridges came out. Unfortunately, I'm going to pick against my J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I don't know if they're ready. Darnold's ready to go on the road on a short week and get a W even against the hapless Browns. Unfortunately, I think the Bud Light fridges get open tonight, call it 20-17 Cleveland Browns, and that's right on the three-point spread, so I'd stay away from this game. Football Friday tomorrow, Scott. Have a great day. Roto Experts in the Morning, FST up next.